Austria, are you ready?
No! He said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome everybody to Brotherly Love Wrestling, live on Facebook, and night one of our two-night back-to-back live shows. And
we'll reenact all of WrestleMania.
Really?
No.
I don't think we have that much time at all.
Well, we can make each show 6 hours long. Nah, they're only about 3.5.
Yeah, that's a lot. I think we're good. I think we just talk about it. Probably a little easier.
Okay.
So let's start on Wednesday.
It's your ship, El Capitan.
We have a lot to go over. So we'll start where, WrestleMania weekend or week started, really. And that's with NXT TakeOver. Two of the best nights of wrestling over the last 5 nights.
Over the past 5 nights or like 5 months?
Well, I mean, that as well. But I'm just as far as talking about this
unfair.
Week.
That was a little exaggeration.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
Yes. I think night one, that match, I think coming out of night one, the match that everyone was talking about going in was the same match everyone was talking about going out, and that was Tommaso Ciampa and Walter, who, God, you talk about picture perfect as far as what wrestling's supposed to look like, as far as hard-hitting,
now, here,
realistic.
Hold on, let me play a little devil's advocate with you, because...
Okay.
You have been on the record numerous times, and I don't need... proof.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I'm a genius. With this match, there was very little to no build. Correct?
Yeah.
There
correct.
Was very
correct.
There was no storyline behind it. And
no,
you
it wasn't. No.
Being the storyline guru that you are and an appreciative of a storyline, and that's how you get into a match.
Yep.
You're not so big on just the match and telling the story inside the match. Why is this any different than any other match?
Because the storytelling in the match made up for there not being enough of a story leading up to the match.
Yeah,
as
that's a lot of matches. That's like every match that they have in ROH is the match is told in the ring. This is the same concept as Walter and Ciampa.
Except you have... what is the word I'm looking for? Not legacy, but clout backed up behind these two names. When you think of Walter, you think one of the top independent names, period, when he came to NXT. When you think of Ciampa, he's already had all this time, whether it be DIY or when he split with Gargano, that whole feud. You have built up escrow, for a better word, that you know that what they're going to bring to a match, period. Now you put those two in together, and it's going to be, okay, I don't know the story. The story hasn't got me here, but let's see. You know they're going to put on a pretty good match. And then the storytelling happens in the ring, where he immediately starts taking out Walter's hand. And he can't chop with the hand that is so dominant and has won him so many matches that now he has to use his other hand. You see how much pain Walter is in. And he tries to go after Ciampa with the aching hand, but he still can't do it. He chops the table in half, the top of the announce table in half. It's all storytelling built in, and it is an exception to the rule of the story.
Talking about fancy moves and limb targeting. That's what built this match.
There's no fancy moves.
Well, fancy setups. Slapping a goddamn table.
I mean, that was a part of the story of the hand hurting.
You see that a lot, though, in wrestling. Why is it now that it's just because it's... I feel like it's more the two that were involved in the match than the actual match. So they were bigger than the actual match.
Yeah, like I said, it drew me already to the match because they had the clout. I know that both of them are capable of putting on a great match.
This was a dream match. This was NXT's version of a dream match that hadn't happened, at least not on
NXT TV, and they've both been, well, Champ has been there forever, but what feels like forever, it looks like he's aging with the company. Yeah. He's aging rapidly ahead of the company.
Well, and that's the thing, is that he's fairly, they're both young-ish as far as wrestling goes, so in the WWE universe, in their careers, oh, I know, but in their WWE careers, they're fairly young in their careers, so to be a dream match, I don't know if I would call it that, but yeah, that type of thing, I guess, is what you could call it.
So what would it lose its appeal and would it lose its gusto if everyone were to do that, were to just start giving you matches with little to no build? Because that's pretty much what you've seen in wrestling for a while now. Would you need special occasion matches on a big pay-per-view?
Would you need it? Eventually, yeah, because, again, you're going to get watered down just doing it that way. You're always going to need different styles of bringing you, whether it's storytelling or non-storytelling. You can't all have zero setup for every single match. I mean, WWE main card does it a lot anyway, and that's why a lot of people are disinterested in Raw and SmackDown and how they build to pay-per-views, because there isn't that much of a build. Look at Cesaro and Seth. Yes, there was a story, but nothing you could really sink into. It definitely got better as it got closer to the Mania, but still, there was no story there. I mean, the best story they had running was the Triple Threat and was the Fiend and Orton, and even McIntyre and Bobby Lashley as well. But with all that, the storytelling, yeah, I think has to be there, but there are those rare instances like Walter, Ciampa, where if they're going to deliver like that, yeah, I'll take that.
You're excited before the match even starts.
It's exactly.
It's like you make a big match announcement. You're like, ooh, I wasn't expecting that.
Exactly.
So that's what drew you in. There was no story.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to throw chinks in your armor.
No, I knew what you were trying to do. But yeah, I mean, of course, there's always going to be an exception to the rule.
So if you were to have, say, I don't know, what's a match that would be, say, like an AEW equivalent, but they would have to probably bring someone in, and you could get a kind of cool first-time matchup. Like, what if it was Okada came in, and Hangman was the champion?
And you got Okada-Hangman?
Would that deliver in the same, would that be in the same vein as what you were, I think it would be.
If you're asking for, as fans in general, or as from my point of view?
Well, I think fans in general, I think that would go over really well.
The fans in general, yeah, because you're getting the top star from New Japan. And then Hangman, a guy who was in New Japan but never got that opportunity because he wasn't on that level of Okada.
Exactly. That's why I picked Hangman.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think of the roster and be like, okay, so, I mean, would Okada, Matt Hardy be, like, depending on what version of Matt Hardy? I think the build could be interesting. It'd be like the same thing if it was Jericho.
Yeah. It's hard, though.
But they would have to have a build because that match, just throwing that match together with little build doesn't excite me. It would need to match either athleticism, or they would have to be able to do a bunch of things to counteract that.
And that when you said that, that's why I asked fans or me, because the second you said it, I'm going, I'm not interested in Okada Hangman. That's not going to get me to go, oh man, I got to see what AEW does with this.
Okay, so say there's little build. Does AEW have that match? Do they have a Walter Ciampa? I'm playing devil's advocate again.
Yeah.
Would they? I would imagine they probably have to bring someone in. There would have to be something that would happen where you get like this first time match.
If it's a first time match, yes. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you have to bring someone in. I'll take it back because they're building the story now, so maybe it disqualifies itself.
I'm talking
Sting and Lance Archer. And
I knew you were going to say Archer. I was like, all right, well, I know where
they're already building this story. There isn't a story there, but they're building it now, and you're not getting it anytime soon, obviously. So then that would be it. But now a dream match that has happened somewhere else that I kind of want to see AEW do is Christian and Jericho.
Okay, yeah, I would.
Yeah, but with the pedigree behind them,
exactly, you know what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
Now, what if they brought in, like, say, a Naito versus Miro?
That would immediately, yes. That would do it.
That would do it. Something like that. Okay.
Yeah. Because you have the character of Naito and how good he is in the ring, you know how great Miro has been as far as character-wise, and you know how good he is. And, yeah, that's probably the best thing to do.
Interesting clash of two different styles.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Miro needs to... I think he would benefit greatly from venturing off into Japan. Like, I hope that New Japan and AEW, those would be the two companies I would want to work together.
Yeah. To be honest, I was actually kind of let down Miro was the best man.
How about that? Well, yeah, but I feel
because I wanted him to go to Japan.
There's plenty of time to get away from that. I mean, they could split at any moment. It would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like an FTR GOD would be...
Yeah, but and you still have the backward booking to where you have the connection already from New Japan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
no, I'm just saying like dream matches that I feel like AEW of all companies would be able to pull off because they're already working with other promotions, not like...
I'm glad you brought that up. So, I mean, I know we said we saw WrestleMania and we've gotten this left turn.
Well, we started with NXT, so we didn't lie.
Yeah.
We just kind of went... So if anyone's watching this show, they know what happens. I keep us so far off the track, we're in the water.
So the question I wanted to ask is, now that we've seen a while, and we kind of talked about this one of the nights we were hanging out watching wrestling, was the AEW and Impact working together, breaking that forbidden door, if you will, do you think it's a success? Do you think it worked?
I think it ran out of steam, honestly. I think it started off quickly. I think it started off with really, really great potential.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after that first night, and it was kind of the same promo as the night before, and it was kind of... I think, honestly, it's Omega for me.
Which is surprising because you were so into Omega when he was... in New Japan, and you were having the Okada Omega trilogy and the amazing matches, you couldn't take your eyes off both of them.
I feel like he comes off very dorky. Yeah, like that's his, like, I don't know. I'm no expert and I have my own opinion, but that's how it comes off to me. And it's not like, all right, this great. Now, Roman Reigns, champion.
Yeah.
Lashley, champion. Like, Kenny Omega, goofball. That's what I think.
It's the perception. It's the perception. That might not be reality, but that's
the perception. He's kind of a goof. Like, he's a dork.
So we do have a question that I want to turn right back into. It's Matthew Nelson asked, are we ready for Aleister feud with Bray to give Aleister something to do?
Is Aleister even with the company?
I mean, he's still with the company. He's still under contract, but obviously
if
not on TV.
If he comes back completely... Maybe not completely, but if he comes back reinvented and they let him do what he wants to do,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like an overproduced fucking entrance and shit, just let him be a dark, ominous person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. That would be pleasant to actually see.
And I think now that Bray and Alexa are up in the air, we have no idea what this means.
We have no idea what the fuck we watched last night, to be honest.
Exactly.
I have no idea, but if someone got that and was like, oh, I know completely what's going on, I'm not confused whatsoever, then congratulations. Because I don't even think the people that wrote it know what the fuck happened. They probably had this vision. They're probably like, okay.
Well, he brings up a good point. He said to look at the way Alexa looked at the box last night with the black dripping down her face, the black kind of crown. So a more darker looking Alexa.
But still, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know if anyone knows what that means.
I know you're supposed to now wait to find out. You'll probably get a glimpse into that tonight, you would think. Hopefully you're watching this before you watch Raw, because, I mean, if there's...
Raw's not on yet, so yeah.
If there's any pre-show to watch, it's this one. I mean, look. No, but Aleister Black, I think enough time has probably passed to be like, okay, they kind of failed and fumbled with him. So if they bring him back and it's actually to do something, like him and Ricochet came up, and I thought that that was going to be like, I thought that they were going to like kind of skyrocket. I thought that they were going to get like this mega push, and like I thought that they would be like either two top baby faces. I didn't think they were going to keep them in a tag team.
No, I don't think anyone thought that.
I think that would have just been stupid. But to bring them up and kind of let them go their separate ways a little bit, and them both kind of just maybe work their way into working against each other, which would have been a fairly simple storyline. The two guys that came up and were the tag team, they were in fucking WrestleMania together as a tag team, to kind of go their separate ways and get a bunch of wins under their belt, have some kind of like blow off storylines, and then work their way back against each other.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been perfect for like an Intercontinental or.
Well, and it's a good way for them to wet their feet with the company without too much pressure if they're running that kind of angle.
Well, here's the thing. You're doing this thing with Bray Wyatt, who's this like completely creepy, crazy character.
Mm-hmm.
Alliteration aside. And then, why couldn't you have done this with... I know that they hate running the same type of gimmick. I mean, they never do it.
Yeah.
But it took you forever to get to Bray, to this part of Bray.
Yeah.
You could have been doing this with Alistair the whole time, being... Like, there could be more than one dark character, as long as their character isn't the same.
Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, it always seems... The wrestling always seems to go back to the Attitude Era, but... I mean, look, you have the dark, the ultimate dark character in The Undertaker, but you still have the dark Mankind character who was doing his promos in the dark and the moon and the boiler rooms.
There's definitely ways around it.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't, just because they're both dark doesn't mean they have to be the same, or people aren't going to think they're connected.
I think Bray would fall under the creepy, and I think Alistair would have been like just the dark, scary.
Yeah, because
creepy and scary are different.
Well, and the way that the Fiend is presented is completely different from just...
It's a lot more theatrical.
Exactly. And cinematic. And
I don't think that Alistair would have had to go that route.
Yeah, he wouldn't need to. I agree. Let's jump back into NXT, because we have a lot of matches still to talk about.
Okay.
We had the Gauntlet match, which was a great match. Bronson Reed comes out looking incredibly strong going into Night 2 and facing Johnny Gargano. And this looks like... Even the other guys who were in the match, as far as Swerve, I thought Swerve looked great. I thought a lot of the guys, everyone who was featured in that Gauntlet match, looked very, very good. It was a good way of showcasing a lot of this talent that otherwise wouldn't have been on the card.
Yeah, when you see a six-man or a five-man or even a four-man match on an NXT card, you know it's going to be good. Like, they have a great track record of those multi-man matches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So... I mean, that's always, like, a fun way to start. Like, I remember the North American Championship ladder match. That was one of the best matches ever.
Yes.
That I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was just a match highlighting everybody going for that title.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing.
Yeah. And end of night one, we had the women main eventing, Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez. And talk about a match that everybody was talking about. It was so good. They did such a good job. And you crown a new women's champion.
I'm not surprised.
Finally got beat.
Now, I was going to say, I wonder if she makes her way to the main card, but, I mean, Raw does need some help in the singles aspect, but if Becky comes back, all is cured.
Of course. Of course. I mean, tonight is the Monday after WrestleMania. Everything happens. Oh, a lot of big things happen on one of the biggest Raws of the year. So, we got to see what follows now. And later tonight.
Because they do have people that are in the performance center. They do have, I mean, the machine is churning right now.
Yeah.
With more talent that's just building back up, and they're going to have more and more people. I mean, MSK. That's what kind of, like, the what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea. He said MSK, that's it. Nothing to go on. I can't help you on this one.
The rocket strap. Okay.
So the push that they're getting?
The push that they got. Like,
yeah.
I figured that's what Alistair and Ricochet were going to get on the main roster. Because MSK came in, and what have they done? Win.
Yeah.
That's it. They've only won. And now they're the champions, or the interim champions?
No, they're the champions. Yeah, because they stripped them completely. Unless they run Birch and Lorcan come back and say, we never lost.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they could do. It would be easy. But no, they're the full champions. No interim tag on that.
NXT's just got... I don't think they have as good of a tag division as AEW.
No, but I think no, it's not.
I think their quality and their storytelling in their tag matches is better.
I'll say yeah for the reason that I don't think AEW is doing enough with their tag division to.
I think they got stories. I think they got them all, and they're just like, oh shit.
Yeah, absolutely. What do we do? Yes, I agree.
So they kind of run into that same thing where, like, well, okay, we can only really feature a couple at a time, even though we have. Everybody is a tag. There's a tag team everywhere.
Everyone's a faction, and there's so many
tag teams.
Yeah, though that's the thing. They don't. There are so many tag teams. Whether it's Jurassic Express, FTR, look, Pride and Powerful, like
the Best Friends.
They're all over the place. We don't have to go down the list. And it's just as a tag team wrestling fan, you wish that you would see this division kind of take off the way Tony Khan promised in the beginning of AEW.
Here's the thing. They have. The blueprint of what WWE had back in the Attitude Era with the Hardys, the Dudleys, and
Edge and Christian. Yeah.
They had that. They could take over. Like, this is... They have it. Mm-hmm. Like, they have the tag teams. They have the Young Bucks. They have the Proud Powerful. They have even Penta and Phoenix. And then, I mean, there's... And then the laundry list.
It just keeps going. Of course.
Like, they could do it better. Like, much that's better. One thing that they could do better because they have all of them. And they could be featured. And they have guys that can cut promos. It's just that... we're getting flustered.
I was going to say, so frustrated.
Because it's just the same thing. It's the same thing that they're doing as... It's like the WWE did. What they were planning on changing. Mm-hmm. They changed, like... WWE didn't have any factions. They didn't have anybody for a while. After the Shield broke up, that was pretty much it.
Yeah,
they
were the New Day.
They were pretty much getting rid of groups.
Yeah.
And they still had an NXT with Undisputed Era, but that was about it for them, too. Mm-hmm. So they decided, okay, we'll do the exact opposite. Everyone will be a faction. And we'll kind of pigeonhole ourselves into these storylines where it's just group versus group and group versus group. It's just that if they... They need more time, and we say this all the time, they have it with the two YouTube channels.
But Tony Khan did say, excuse me, on Thursday afternoon, he was on Busted Open, and did say that there is an hour on TNT coming of AEW wrestling, another show.
So just now, 1 hour.
Just 1 hour. This is from Tony Khan on Busted Open.
Because what does that turn into, 40 minutes? 45 minutes.
42, something like that, depending on if they get extra time or not. But so if that's coming,
it's a 3-match card probably every week with very little, or a 2-match card, and they do vignettes and promos.
Yeah. Well, and I would look. Let it be a tag show. Let it just be the tag.
They're not going
to
do that.
I know
need to start highlighting these women as well. So. I mean, whatever you get on the show, the Dynamite, the main show, will probably be your main storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Cody's doing, whatever Jericho's doing, whatever Omega's doing, and that's pretty much it.
And Moxley. Yeah. Although Moxley will probably be going away soon.
To fight Nick Gage.
Yeah.
Going away. I go away and do a death match too.
I was more thinking about his baby being born.
Well,
yeah,
I would think so too. But he's going to do death matches.
Well, yeah. Well, let's go into that. At spring break, we had the main event, and like we talked about last week, and what I was looking forward to the most as far as all the independent shows that were happening.
And you went with the storyline.
Yes, and I went with the storyline, the good build, and that was Nick Gage versus RSP for that GCW title. 18-month build that this match had. And, of course, the match was crazy. The spots were insane. Nick Gage carving MDK into the back of RSP with a broken light tube. I mean, going off of the scaffold, it was ridiculous. But, all that being aside, Nick Gage walks away. You get the storybook ending to this long storyline. He gets the title. He rescues GCW's title from RSP. And everyone's, of course, bloody. And RSP leaves. Nick Gage is in the ring. And all of a sudden, music hits. And John Moxley walks out, gets in the ring, and gets in the face of Nick Gage. And then hits Nick Gage with a paradigm shift on a cube of light tubes.
Yeah, can we call it a cube?
It was a cube.
I don't know, man. Cubes are all the same dimension.
It was. Well, I can't say the same dimension. It was light tubes in the shape. Anyway, neither here nor there.
I mean, that wasn't the important part?
That was not the important part. Because once he leaves, then Nick Gage gets up and says, I'll see you in a death match. So now we have John Moxley versus Nick Gage, who two guys that rolled together in CZW and wrestled in CZW early in their careers.
Imagine if Moxley holds the GCW title, too.
It could happen. I mean, like you said, he's one of those guys.
He's one of those guys that I think AEW should be a side job.
Yes.
He should just roll to every company and any company that he wants to, because I feel like that's his wheelhouse, and he's enough of a name to where he's always a special attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So if he shows up on shows, that's beneficial for the indies.
Big time. Especially a show or a company like GCW who has been rising in the rankings as far as...
Not to mention Joey Janela, who's probably chomping at the bit to get... Would it be a rematch against Moxley, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a GCW ring?
Exactly. And another match, if you haven't seen Spring Break yet, Janela versus Dickinson at Spring Break was also another ridiculous, ridiculous match. So try and go back and watch that if you can. Another one I wanted to talk about was at Family Reunion. First, we had the Camp Leapfrog match to start off the show.
Our favorite camp?
Of course. Was a great match. You had Boomer, Erica Lee, and Boar against a very good professional wrestler, Travis Huckabee, Matt Mikowski. Great trios match. Hell of a way to start that show off.
Nice throwback.
And the cool thing was the main event, Lee Moriarty versus Edith Surreal.
For the title.
And then the ending, which... obviously, I don't think anyone expected, is we saw Wheeler Yuta, former guest of our show, come in and take out Edith and hit her in the back. I was shocked. And he was dressed in all black, like the masked wrestler, and tore his mask off, and it was Wheeler Yuta. This new persona of Wheeler Yuta.
It's his indie persona.
Yeah.
Because he's not really the same in ROH.
No, obviously. He's not. No, yeah.
He's running an indie gimmick, and mm-hmm. he's just, it's always geared around Moriarty. Right around there. So he always puts himself now into that title picture. And I think, I'm pretty sure that it was announced for the next time they're at Worcester, it'll be Wheeler Yuta versus Lee Moriarty at Beyond Wrestling.
Which will be a...
That was announced, it was this past week, so it must have been right after that.
Yeah, yeah. So that looked for that match to absolutely be amazing with those two guys in the ring. And not only that, look, you got storytelling immediately.
So that falls into my wheelhouse. Not only do you get the storytelling, which I appreciate, but now I get the technical match that I yearn for.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit of both for both of us there. So, I mean, as far as those two go, whether
it's
it was...
just so much. There was so much wrestling to watch. It's not,
so much.
It's almost like it's... It's like one of those, it's unfair that there's this much to watch, and you literally can't carve out enough time in a day unless you take, 4 days off?
Yeah, you would
need
4 days
off. All you have to do is watch wrestling, because it starts at noon, but they counter, it was fighting IWT going head-to-head on majority of these shows, so it's just like, you got to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
I caught For the Culture, which was a very, very good show.
Yeah.
Our boy Frontman Ja made it there, showed up, kicked ass. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I appreciate about the Frontman is he gets it. Mm-hmm. Even in a match, in a scramble match, what is he doing? Selling. He's very animated. And then, he gets it. Like, he's that good.
No matter what it is. And it's not just that. It's the charisma, the playing to the crowd, all the aspects that go
of
into
a TV wrestler, of, a,
exactly.
of someone that you
yes.
want to see on TV, yep. whether there's fans.
Yeah.
He plays it.
Yes. Yeah, and you look at the other, not that Tankman or, I'm trying to think of the Andy Downtown, Andy Brown was another one. Not that they don't do that, but to not to the effect and the style of a frontman, because he is just, I think, ahead of his time for only being in wrestling for 5 years.
I think he just gets it, and he's good at it.
Mm-hmm. Comes easy.
Yeah, it looks like it. I'm sure it's not, but...
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at some of his video packages that he puts out on his own, they're the best that I've seen.
Oh, promos.
Yeah, of anybody that's doing it, I put him at the tops. And that's in any wrestling promotion.
Yeah, then that's why we all constantly say that guys like him need to be on televised wrestling, whether it is Ring of Honor, Impact, whatever.
He needs to be seen by many to be appreciated. I'm not downplaying like Impact or anything like that, but he needs to be on the big time TV.
So you want him on AEW or NXT? Or
if he showed up in NXT, that's like...
Well, with the crop that they have currently, with an Alex Zane, with Blake Christian...
Like, there's a couple people I think that would benefit, not from an AEW, I think, but going to NXT, like people that are like polished but not polished enough, and I feel like this will put them over the top, Frontman being one of them. I feel like him getting there and getting the tutelage from like a Shawn Michaels or something like that, that only is beneficial.
Yeah.
I feel like Matt Mikowski would benefit greatly being, because he's different. And I feel like
In an NXT? Okay. You wouldn't want him in that pure division?
I would, but I feel like he's rising quicker and quicker. But if he were to do a short stint in ROH, sure.
Yeah.
As a warm-up, and then, but I feel like in NXT, like, I feel like they don't have him. They have, like, a Thatcher. They have guys that are like him, but I feel like he does it differently.
I don't think, and we say this all the time when we talk about Matt, is no one has him. He is so innovative.
He's different. I know I get it's the MMA style and it's the grappling style, but it's done differently to a fact of where it feels like it's wrestling.
The one move he puts off, and
it's like a torture rack into a goddamn armbar.
The one he pulled off at Family Reunion, he's on the apron on the outside of the ring, and his opponent is on his knees, hands and knees, with basically their back to Matt, and he's sitting outside. He dives in, catches the head, rolls him up into a rear naked choke. It was ridiculous. Something I've never seen before. And I feel like every single Matt Mikowski match, I say that every single time.
The razor's edge into the knee bar? That was insane.
He's amazing with some of the stuff he comes up with, tying MMA into professional wrestling.
He makes it feel like it's one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was always like, oh, this guy's an MMA guy in a wrestling ring. He feels like he's an MMA wrestler that's bringing everything together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like that's the difference. Because people will throw their kicks and their punches and even Rousey. I mean, what was right? Rousey was, she felt like an MMA person that stepped into a wrestling ring, but was still the MMA person.
Yes. Yeah. She really didn't look like a professional wrestler.
With McCown. No, she had the... It's just that she didn't bring... She looked like an MMA fighter.
Yes. Yeah. It was predominantly MMA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he makes it feel like, okay, I'm both. Mm-hmm. And I know this, but this is... I'm putting this style into it.
Yeah. So I think the other couple things that happen that are pretty big as far as the indies anyway...
Bloodsport.
And the main event, Josh Barnett and Moxley finally getting it on... And finally getting this match to where they didn't have for, 2 years?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Was it two? I think you're right.
And not only that, and then Moxley actually gets beat by Josh Barnett, which actually surprised me a little bit.
Because you don't expect the AEW, big name AEW, to lose.
Exactly.
I think that's the good thing about Moxley, is that a loss to him doesn't really hurt him.
That's true.
He was a champion in two of the biggest companies. Like, he was the main champion.
Yeah.
For two of the biggest companies. A simple loss, if anything, that fucking is huge for Barnett. But it doesn't hurt Moxley at all, because you know that he will go into his next match and he will probably win. He's not going to go on a big... I mean, it is against Nick Gage in both of their wheelhouse, so that one can kind of...
Go either way.
I mean, that, I hope that they can set that up where there's going to be a good crowd.
Yeah, it doesn't have to happen in 3 months.
No, but if they want to bring it to the Atlantic Boardwalk, I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, no.
I feel like that would be a cool
spot. And I like their setup that they usually do.
Yeah. because they get the it's like just their own little
on the section. Pier.
Yeah, on the pier.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean,
although that one should probably be under the lights. That's a nighttime show.
Yes. Yeah.
It's good lighting.
Very. It would have to be very good lighting for the things that they would want to pull off. The last thing I do want to say is the Gray Sweatpants Battle Royal.
Okay.
That was brought to you by Faye Jackson, who unfortunately now, Faye Jackson, who has been a staple on the indie circuit no matter what show it was, and then her own show that has become a tradition during Mania weekend, she's done. She hurt her arm wrestling, I think. So really her last wrestled match was for Camp Leapfrog.
Yeah.
Not Camp Leapfrog, for Pizza Party.
Yeah.
So that was her last match, and they did a very classy thing after the Battle Royal. All the superstars stood around her, thanked her. Everyone kept chanting, "Thank you, Faye," like for everything she has done to contribute to pro wrestling.
You don't hear enough about the good people in
yes.
professional wrestling. The standouts.
Yeah.
And I said that when Luke Harper, John Huber,
Brody Lee, whatever
name you want to use, when he passed away, you heard all the good things about how he was a great person. He was a great father. Like, you unfortunately only hear about that after that person's gone.
Yes.
Like, I feel like you do need to hear more about that. I don't care about breaking kayfabe or whatever. Wrestling's been going through such a ups and down period over the past, 2 years, maybe mm-hmm. longer, but it's just being exposed now. But I mean, you need to hear more about the good people.
Yes, and Faye is definitely one of them. She always, I mean, as far as contributing to the sport of pro wrestling and then the indies, everyone you see on the internet calls her Auntie Faye. She just seems like a genuinely good person and wants to contribute and help pro wrestling grow for the entire community. So that's a big loss for professional wrestling, Faye Jackson not retiring now, unfortunately. But I think that wraps it up because we want to cut it short because we still have a whole nother night of talking wrestling because we haven't even got to the main event yet, and that's WrestleMania.
Oh, it's WrestleMania. Oh, I want them to bring that back.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I would love it. They bring everything else back. Why can't they bring that back?
NXT would be the one to do it, not
if they could
main
do
roster.
It, no, they just need to put a little spin on it.
Yeah.
Make it a little bit more current.
But we did find out, I mean, we knew that Dallas next year for Mania.
Yeah, don't do it in Dallas. Fuck them.
But, I mean, they did the whole Stone Cold promo, which I would love to see him as the host if you were going to do the commercial with Stone Cold. Maybe have him host. Because this year's host, I love Titus, but
Hogan.
It was so bad.
Anytime he spoke, he got booed.
Yes.
And you heard it.
Yes.
They tried to drown it out, but no, you heard it.
So, we'll get into all that.
Yeah, Austin's not getting that treatment, not in Dallas.
No, not in Dallas. So all that and more coming tomorrow right here on Facebook Live, 7:30 again. Be sure to tune in right before the first airing of NXT on Tuesday in this new time slot at 8 o'clock. So we hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow.